Today, we'll be looking at manifesting your sonship, manifesting your sonship. Now, our theme scripture is John 1 verse 12, which says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, when we hear about we being children of God, sons of God, many times we think, oh, it's just we see God as the creator, which he is, and so as a result of that, we are his children. Or as it relates to the children of Israel, he adopted them as a nation, and so they were his children. But if we look at it in this New Testament, in this new dispensation, we being sons of God means something entirely different from what the Jews were and from what persons generally understand as God being their father, because it says to them gave he power. And if you look at the Greek definition of that power that he gives us, the Greek word is exousia. And what it means is the right. It gives us the privilege, superhuman power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases, physical and mental power, token of control. These are all the meanings of exousia, so that it gives us an idea when we hear that God has given us the power to become the sons of God. It gives us an idea of what it really means. Now, it says right. We have been given the right. Now, we have rights, and many times we fight very hard for those rights not to be violated. We have human rights. We have the right of way on the road. We have employers have their rights. Employees have their rights. Landlord, tenants. I mean, we have rights everywhere. And as it relates to right of way, I was recently that in a little accident as I was driving home from work. Somebody bashed into my car, and I didn't even know that I was the person that had the right of way. And it's a good thing I did not speak quickly, because if I had spoken quickly, I would have given myself away that I didn't know I had the right of way. So I came out, and before I could say anything, she started apologizing. "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't see when you were coming." I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." So we sorted it out. Her car was not damaged, but my car was just a little bit damaged. So I told her, just leave it, just leave it alone and forget about it. So we fight for our rights, but do we really fight for the right to be a son of God? Because it is not just something that comes naturally to us. If it came naturally, just you don't fight to be a son of your parents. You are just a child of your parent. But when God says that you need power to become my son, it's a right, it's a privilege. That means there is something involved in it. There is something that we are supposed to manifest. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we really fight to become the sons of God? And we want to know, so if we are, what does it mean to be a son of God? Who can we look at as a yardstick to know what a son of God can do, or what a son of God, how can sons of God manifest? And we know that the only person, one of the persons we can look at that really comes clearly to us is Jesus, the Son of God. And the Bible says that we are created after his image. The Bible talks about that we are born again. And I always thought that being born again means just, a rebirth. But I was just curious, and I said, let me look at the meaning of being born again in the Greek. And being born again actually means being born from above. Jesus came from above. We too are born from above. And we just sang a song a while ago. one of the songs that Aunt Ruth sung a while ago, it says, Jesus and all in him is mine. Jesus and everything in him is mine. Do we really believe the words of those songs? Or do we just sing the songs because they look nice or they sound good? But do you really believe that everything that's in Jesus is yours? His power is yours. His wisdom is yours. His righteousness is yours. If we really believe that, then we are certainly not manifesting it. Now, the Bible says that unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. And that scripture was referring to Jesus. So Jesus, the corn of wheat, he fell, he died. And he produced more wheat that looked like him. He produced us. When you plant a seed, the fruit of the seed looks exactly like the original seed. So Jesus is the yardstick that we are looking at as manifesting as sons of God. Now, the Bible also talks about that we are in the household of God. This is a family. God has been wanting to have a family. So he is God, he sends Jesus, and now Jesus has brothers. The Bible says that Jesus says we are his brothers. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. So we are just like Jesus. We are sons of God. So what is expected of sons of God? The Bible says in 1 John 5 verse 4, he that is born of God overcomes the world. Anybody who is born of God overcomes the world. And what does it mean when we overcome the world? Because we read scriptures like this and it really, because we just gloss over it, we really don't understand what it means that we are overcoming the world. First and foremost, the Bible talks about the corruption, that we overcome the corruption and the sin that is in the world because we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But Colossians chapter 2 verse 20, Paul says, why as though living in the world are you subject to elements? Why as though living in the world are you subject to elements? Don't touch this, don't touch that, don't do that. In essence, Paul is telling us that we are dead to this world. The world is dead to us. We are dead to the world. And as sons of God, if we are manifesting as sons of God, then we are not afraid of anything. Again, we look at Jesus and the way he lived. You know, the Jews, when you talk about being a son of God, the Jews understood what it meant to be a son of God. That's why when Jesus said, I am a son of God, they picked up stones to kill him. How can you, being a human being, claim you're a son of God? You are claiming equality with God. So the Jews understand that being a son of God means you are equal to God. And I know that that may sound like we're trying to equate ourselves with God, but I tell you, brothers and sisters, we have no right to say anything that God has not first said about us. Jesus says, nothing shall be impossible with men, with me. With men, this is impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. And then he turns around to the man and said, if you believe, nothing shall be impossible to you. What does that mean? Jesus is insinuating that if you believe, you are in the class of God. As sons of God, we are in the class of God. That's why the Bible says he has given us good and precious promises so that we may be a partaker of the divine nature. And Paul buttresses that point and says, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to elements? Manifest yourselves as sons of God. The world is saying, don't do this, don't do that. The Bible says, I've given you the power. I've given you the right. I've given you token of control. You are superhuman. Because the world is dead to us. Now, many times we Christians, we talk about, oh, Jesus is coming back very soon. We're looking forward to the coming of the Lord. And it's good that Jesus is coming back soon. But many times when Christians, or many Christians talk about the coming of the Lord, they talk about it from a standpoint of weakness. We are bedeviled by the problems of life, or we're just barely getting through, or the problems and the vicissitudes of life. Oh, Jesus, come get us. We look forward to the coming of the Lord in weakness. While the Bible says that God is coming for a glorious church. God is not coming. God is not looking out there, oh, my children are suffering, I better go get them. God is coming back for a church that is glorious. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 13 that God is looking to the church to come to a oneness of faith and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so when we see ourselves as sons of God, we ought not to be in a position of weakness expecting Jesus to come and get us. Because why? Because he has given us enough power to exist on this earth and fulfill our purpose before we look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. How did Paul look forward to leaving the world? I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race, and now I'm ready to meet the Lord. In our expecting Jesus to come, is it that we have finished our fight? We have fought the good fight of faith? Or we are thinking, oh, this world is too hard. Oh, Lord, come get us. That's a position of weakness. And God says he's presenting a glorious church to himself. Jesus says it is finished. He did his work. He fulfilled God's purpose for his life before he looked forward to going back to be with the Father. Now, the Bible says that God teaches us to pray. It says, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what Jesus tells us to pray. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm like, God is saying, whatever is in heaven, that is what should be done on earth. And that is why Jesus came from heaven in the first place, to bring the life of heaven down to earth. And I'm thinking, why would God ask us to pray, let thy will be done on earth, if he will not answer those prayers? So God has said, I want my will to be done on this earth. And if we are, if as Christians, we are looking forward to the coming of the Lord in a position of weakness because we are bedeviled with the problems of life, the vicissitudes of life, the sickness and lack of money, God has given us a provision for all these things so that we can focus on being who God wants us to be, so that we can focus on fulfilling our purpose on earth as sons of God, manifesting as sons of God. God has made provision for our health. Aunt Ruth just read this scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. It says that your spirit is alive because of righteousness, but your body is dead. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal bodies. God has done something to our mortal bodies that can withstand whatever this earth has to offer for us to fulfill our purposes. But the problem is that, do we believe that God has given us the power? He's given us the right to act as his sons. And we talk about finances. Has God made provision for us as his children to live well on earth so that we can focus on being the initial plan of God was for man to have dominion and subdue the earth. Man to have dominion and subdue the earth. But because we have so many issues in life, we have so many money problems, we have so many sickness problems, we are so focused on all these problems and we are not really fulfilling that mandate of being, having dominion and subduing the earth. But God has made a provision for our finances. God has said Jesus Christ came so that he became poor, so that we through his poverty may be made rich. And if you're having a problem with finances, the Bible also says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Proverbs 13, verse 22. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And brothers and sisters, if you're like me and you are having issues with your finances, how do you see a scripture like this and you just gloss over it like it's not in the Bible? God says, you will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is a word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. And he gives us his word, says, meditate on it. So if I meditate on the wealth of the wicked being laid for the righteous, what is going to come out of it? People come and tell us, even though the Bible talks about God has provided for us to be prosperous, I wish above all things that you may be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospereth. I've been in a church service where somebody was preaching, and people have all of good intentions. And the man said that scripture, that people use that scripture to insinuate that God has called us to prosper, that scripture is not about prosperity. And for me, I was angry in my spirit because I know the truth of that word, but what about somebody else who is struggling and will depend on that scripture for God to meet their needs? And the Bible says we reason amongst ourselves. And as a Christian, have you gone to God yourself and asked him, what does this mean? It doesn't matter how anointed a man of God is. It doesn't matter how much revelation the person has. The Bible says the buck stops with you personally. Who do men say that I am? What do you say that I am? Who does this pastor say that I am? But the buck stops with you. Who do you say that I am? God has made a provision for us to live victoriously on earth so that we are not like the people of the world who have problems but do not have a complete solution according to the will of God to solve those problems. So that we are looking unto God and we are looking like people who do not have God as a father. Now, starting from the Old Testament, God has been wanting us to have a certain mentality. That is why God says, you are sons of God. He wants us to have a different mentality. When God says, you are salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, you are more than conquerors. What kind of mentality, if you sit down and meditate on those kinds of scriptures, what kind of mentality is God expecting you to have? Mm-hmm. It started from the Old Testament. He circumcises the children of Israel, and he tells them, you are circumcised, you are my people. And David gets up, he meets Goliath. What does he say? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the children of the Lord? Jonathan, his son, is involved in a battle, the battle of Israel, and he's with his armor bearer. And he says, let us go and meet these uncircumcised. What does that tell us? Jonathan has a superiority mentality. I'm superior to these persons, because I am a circumcised of the Lord. And this is the same mentality that we ought to have. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that we are born of God, and we are living in a world where other people are just born of their parents. We are born of God, existing in the same world where people are only born of their parents, not born of God. The competition ought not to be the same. We have the life of God in us. We have the resources of heaven. The Father says, I will provide for your needs, not according to the economy on earth. I'm going to provide for your needs according to my riches in glory. The Bible talks about God. God tells Moses, when he's sending Moses to Pharaoh, He tells Moses, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. So this is not the first time that God is making his children gods. God tells Moses, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. So when Moses approaches Pharaoh, Moses is approaching Pharaoh as a God. Have we really thought about this? Why didn't Pharaoh kill Moses? Pharaoh and Aaron, they walk into the palace, and all Pharaoh could have done was to kill those two men. Nobody would have asked any question. It's not in our times today that the media would have said, oh, we saw two men entering your property and they didn't come out. Moses and Aaron, and nobody would have asked questions. But because God has said, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh could do nothing to Moses and Aaron. I don't even think it crossed his mind that he was able to kill these two men if he wanted to, because God had made them a God unto Pharaoh. And how much more in the New Testament? What happens to only Moses has become a finished work in the New Testament. For every child of God, it says to those that receive, and that receiving is not a passive receiving. That word is lambano. To those that take hold, I am a son of God. I am a child of God with power, with token of control. I am a child of God with superhuman strength. That's what the Bible says. God has said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. Psalms 82 verse 6. This is who God has made us. And now the Bible also says that in Romans 8 verse 19, it says that the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole creation, the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why are they waiting for us to manifest? It means that the trees, the atmosphere, whatever consists in the earth, they recognize those who are the sons of God. If we manifest as sons of God, they would recognize us as sons of God. That's why the whole creation is waiting for us to manifest. Brothers and sisters, this may seem strange, but if you ever encounter a lion, let's say you are hiking and you ever encounter a lion, brothers and sisters, God has given us, that lion should recognize you as a son of God. If you believe, the Bible says the whole creature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And do you know what the Bible says in Colossians 1 verse 20? It says that through the blood of Jesus, everything in heaven and earth has been reconciled back to God. God has made peace in heaven and earth. Everything, every created thing, the universe, the atmosphere, the animals, everything has been reconciled because of the blood of Jesus. Has Jesus shed his blood? If Jesus has shed his blood, then everything has been reconciled. Everything is at peace with you. So if you ever, let's say for example, you encounter a wild beast and there is no way of escape, as a son of God, you ought to speak to the lion. Whatever it is you want to say, that lion will recognize you as a son of God. And how do we know that this is true? This is why Jesus says, if you believe, you will handle snakes and they will not bite you. Do human beings handle snakes? I know we have snake handlers, but it is only gods that can handle snakes and not be beaten. That is why Jesus says, you will bring deadly thing and they will not harm you. Do human beings bring deadly things and they don't harm them? It's only gods that can bring deadly things and it will not harm them. That doesn't mean that we tempt God and drink poison to see whether it works. If in error you drink something, the Bible says that that thing is not supposed to harm you. And I have experienced this maybe in a limited level. I never knew that you were not supposed to mix bleach and vinegar. I had never known. So I was cleaning and I decided to mix bleach and vinegar. And this and this smell that came out of this thing and hit me, I started having chest pains immediately. And I immediately, this scripture came to mind, I will eat deadly things and it will not harm me. And I began to quote this scripture, I will eat deadly things and it will not harm me. And the thing ended there. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, there are liberties in the spirit as sons of God. The Bible says this power is superhuman. You are not supposed to be acting like a mere human being. And you know what? That is why the Bible says in Psalms 91, is the sun shall not smite you by day, neither the moon by night. Why does it say that? Because everything has been reconciled back to God. The sun shall not smite you by day, neither the moon by night. The Bible says in the book of Job, God says, I have made a covenant with the wild beast, and they will not harm you. Job chapter 5 verse 23 and Hosea 2 verse 18. I have made, or I will make a covenant with the wild beast and they will not harm you. And when I saw this scripture, I was saying, oh Lord, I want you to see. I want to know if this happened to Jesus, because Jesus is my yardstick as a son of God. If I can find in the scripture that this happened to Jesus, then I can be, you know, concrete in my belief. And one day, I'm reading Mark 1, verse 13, and I see, and Jesus was with the wild beast. I said, Jesus was with the wild beast, and they did not harm me. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, we sing these songs. Everything in Jesus is mine. But do you believe it? Paul is on the island of Malta, and a poisonous snake wraps itself around Paul's wrist. And Paul just shakes it off. It doesn't cross his mind to think that he could die from that poison. It doesn't even cross his mind. He just shakes it off. And the people of the island are waiting for him to die. And he does not die. And then what do they say? Oh, he's a God. And truly, he's a God. Because we are sons of God. Brothers and sisters, this is not just something in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, David encounters lions. David encounters a lion. What does he do? The Bible says that the lion is the king of the beast, and he turns not away for any, in the book of Proverbs. But the lion turns away for David. Imagine, it is lions that pursue human beings. Imagine a human being pursuing a lion and running after it to kill it. David was a man that lived like a New Testament Christian. I'm sure Jesse, David's father, would not have minded if the lion had torn a few sheep. But David says, no, I am circumcised and nothing shall stand before me. David grabs a lion. It doesn't cross his mind. No human being. I mean, when you hear about a lion, it provokes fear in you. But David sees a lion and his first instinct is to fight. I want that kind of mentality. I want anytime I see something that should make me afraid, I remember quickly that I am a son of God. I have superhuman power. I have a power of choice to do as I please. Now, the Bible also says that we are gods. Brothers and sisters, gods are superior to men. And I have told myself that there is nobody who is not a born-again Christian that is superior to me. The Bible says I am a God and gods are superior to men. What do gods do? Gods, whether we are believing in Jesus, people have different gods that they believe in. People look to gods for prosperity. They look to gods for fertility. They look to gods for different things. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And we are the ones to restore the earth. And so people should be looking to us to fix this world. God, I mean, it's a privilege that God has called us to be in partnership with him to restore this earth. Isaiah 49 verse 9. in prophesying about Jesus, the Bible says, I will give you as a covenant to the earth, to restore the earth. God is still in the process of restoring this earth, and he's looking to us to be partners with him. Brothers and sisters, we are sources. We are sources. We are sources of life. Jesus says, my Father has given me life. I have life in myself, and I can give life. Brothers and sisters, do you know that we can give life to people? We can speak words. The Bible says, when they say that there is a casting down, you that is a God can say there is going to be a lifting up. But our speech betrays us all the time. We have the children of the world who are sitting, oh, the economy is so bad. Oh, this is happening. The world is going in the tank. And we as sons of God, we join in such conversations. It ought not to be so. The Bible says that if a man is perfect in his words, he can control his entire body. If a man does not err in his words, he can control his body. And so, brothers and sisters, these are things that God, through his finished work on the cross, through Jesus, God has given us. My God, what an awesome privilege that we should be like him, that we should have his life. God talks about eternal life. Eternal does not have any limit. He says eternal life, and guess what? He gives it to us today. He gives us eternal life today. And it's amazing that we can, in this world, act like men. Jesus, the Bible says, as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And it reminds me of a situation that happened in Charleston. I think it's a man entered into a church, and I think this was in South Carolina, either South or North. Yes, and entered into a church, and I think killed about 9 persons. And back then I was in Jamaica, and a woman that was living with, living my neighbor, she was an elderly woman, a Christian. This woman, she was so angry with God. She said, I don't know what God is doing. Why? He can't work. God allowed those people to be killed like that. And the person that have been Christians for a long time, when you speak to them, you as a younger person, you speak to them, they tell you, oh, I've been there, I've done that, and I just stay in this race for a little time, and you are going to be like us. Being like us means you are going to see that all these things you're talking about, they don't really work. But when I thought about it, this woman, God is not working in our midst, and I'm saying, but God has called us. We are his hands and feet on the earth. Is it possible that if ever we are in a situation like that, is it possible that somebody could have stood up and said, in the name of Jesus, I command your gun to stop? Is it possible? Is it possible that that could have happened? Is it possible that we can be so intimate with God? I'm sure that Jesus would have done that. So when we are singing, all that is in Jesus is mine, we have to be cognizant of the fact. I don't think that a gunman would have entered a church where Jesus is and then just kills everybody. I'm sure Jesus would have stood up and said something. He would have done something. So when we are saying all that Jesus has is mine, we have to be thinking like that. So this woman is attributing all these things to God. God is not doing anything. What is he doing? And I'm like, can I be so close to God? Can I be so intimate with God that the power of God, because brothers, you can't force these things. You cannot force it. You don't just get up, you have not been intimate with God, and you think you're going to speak to a God and it obeys you. No, you don't force it. You stay in the secret place. You have this intimacy with God until his life flows into you and you are living like God. You know, people, many times when we talk about the fact or the wild beasts are going to be friends with us, we can speak to animals, many persons think that all of these things are going to be in the future. People say, yes, yes, we know all of these things will happen, but it's going to happen in the future. But do you know that as Christians, we are so used to postponing things into the future? Martha did the same thing. Jesus tells Martha and Mary, your brother is going to rise again. And she says, yes, he's going to rise again in the resurrection. But Jesus was talking about now. We are masters in postponing God's benefits to the future.
Mm.
Now, even if it's going to be in the future, do you know that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5, that there are those that will taste of the powers of the world to come? There are those that can take of the powers of the world to come. If you have faith, faith is not time bound. Faith is not time bound. That is why the Syrophoenician woman got healed. The Syrophoenician woman goes to Jesus and she tells Jesus, oh, heal my daughter. And Jesus says, no, I didn't come for you. I am not here for you. I am here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was Jesus' intention to extend his ministry to the Gentiles. But at that point in time, it was not yet time to include the Gentiles. He said, I'm not here for you. I'm only here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he says, in the mouth of two witnesses, let a thing be established. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he told them, don't go anywhere else except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that means Jesus was not joking, because somebody might say, oh, Jesus was just testing this woman. No, Jesus doesn't toy with words, because he knows that there are people that take his word as their life. So Jesus tells this woman, it's not time. But guess what? This woman had faith, and Jesus moved his timeline because of this woman's faith. When Jesus said, woman, I can't give you bread that was meant for the children, it is not your time yet, Jesus meant it. But because of her faith, Jesus moves his timeline, and this woman gets her healing. So all these things we are thinking, they are going to happen in the future. Yes, some things will happen in the future. But brothers and sisters, I tell you that because of your faith, you can draw things that are supposed to be in the future to today. Why? It's eternal. The word of God is eternal. I give you eternal life. And guess what? He gives it to us today. Why? Because if you have faith, you can draw from the future, and even human beings do this. Human beings do this. Insurance companies, you walk into a car company, and all you need to do, a car costs like £10,000, and they tell you pay £2,000 and go home with the car. A future benefit that you could have enjoyed, they bring it to today. You could have had to stay for 5-6 years saving up £10,000 to buy that car, but the insurance company says pay whatever you have and go home with the car. You enjoy a future benefit. Brothers and sisters, if human beings can do it, God will not be outclassed. God, through your faith, can draw things in the future of you. If you believe, there are those that can taste of the powers of the age to come, and we are his sons. And so, brothers and sisters, God says to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son and even my firstborn. If you don't release my son to come and to worship me, I will kill your firstborn. Look at the passion with which God owns us as his sons. Look at the passion. He says, if you don't release my son, I will kill your firstborn. Brothers and sisters, can we return the favor? Can we return God the favor? Can we exude such passion in owning God as our Father? Let's return God the favor. Let's tell ourselves, we are sons of God. Nobody messes with me. I am a son of God. That was the mentality of the children of Israel. No, you don't mess with me. I am circumcised. You do not win. God gives us only one option. You shall be above only. You shall be above only first one option. He doesn't tell you to be below. You shall be above only and not beneath. And so, brothers and sisters, let us manifest our sonships. The world is waiting for us to manifest. People's destinies are depending on you. There are people who will never be healed. There are people who will never hear the gospel. There are people who will never believe God, who are not opportune to hear the things you are hearing. And so people's destinies are dependent on us. Let us rise up and manifest the sonship. The creature is waiting for us. The earth is waiting for us. The atmosphere is waiting for us to manifest our sonship, to subdue this earth and to dominate the world, just like God had in his original plan. So I thank God that God has given us his word, and he has given us these liberties. And so, brothers and sisters, I encourage us, even if this message might not be for you, but it could be for somebody that you know. And so, we will reign in life. That's what God wants us to do. We are to reign in life. We receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness so that we can reign in life. A few Sundays ago, Pastor John said something about, he was relating a story, and he said somebody was a king, and you know a king is supposed to be rich. And immediately I got that. The Bible says we are kings and priests. And I said, I am supposed to be rich. I'm supposed to be a blessing to people. God says, I have blessed you to be a blessing. Is it out of place for somebody to come to me as a son of God and tell me, oh, I haven't paid my house rent for 6 months? Is it out of place for me to be so blessed, so rich, and I tell the person, oh, I'll take care of your house rent for 6 months so that you can sort out your life? This is why we believe God for prosperity. This is why how do we reign in life without the resources? This is why we believe God to bless us, so that we can be the salt of the earth, so that rivers, the Bible says, rivers of living water flow out of us. Not just one cup of water, rivers of living water. You can't use that of my brother. You can't use that of my sister. It's for other people. It's for the world. It's for you to benefit your world. It's for you, those rivers that come out of you. You can't use it up. It's for you to bless the people around you, bless the world, restore this earth, be the light of the world, be the salt of the earth. Glory be to God.